Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to be together again. I thank you for joining me, and we're going to continue on in a message I began yesterday entitled The Preparation of the Priesthood. And we looked at seven verses in Zechariah chapter 3, 1 through 7. I won't take the time to read them again, but basically, Zechariah, the prophet, had a vision of the Lord, and he saw Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, or Jesus, and Joshua was clothed with filthy garments as he stood before the Lord, and God spoke to him, those that stood by him, he said, take away those filthy garments from him. And he spoke to Joshua, said, behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And then in verse 5, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And that makes me think of the words of Paul as he spoke to 2 Timothy. He spoke to Timothy in that second book that shortly before, in fact, the last book he wrote before he, epistle he wrote before he was martyred. And in chapter 4, verse 6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Listen to this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what that fair mitre is, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all, unto all that also love his appearing. Praise God. And so then in verse 7, he gives him a charge. If you walk on my ways, keep my charge, he will give a position of authority and rulership to him. And we'll be looking at that. However, let's just take a few moments to look a little bit at the historical context. Zechariah was one of the prophets who, along with Haggai, was ministering to God's people, the first batch of exiles, if you will, that returned from Babylon in fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah, who said they would be in Babylon for 70 years, and they were their task was to rebuild the temple. He came, Zechariah did, from a family of priests, and he was, along with Haggai, closely involved in the building of the temple following that return of the exiles. And in Haggai and in Ezra, chapters 5 and 6, that will give, if you're interested in reading it, more of a historical background. Verse 1, it says in Zechariah now, chapter 3, and he shewed me, Joshua the high priest, in a vision, the word of the Lord came to the prophet, and he was shown night visions. And what he saw was the Lord, the angel of the Lord, and Joshua the high priest standing before the Lord, but he wasn't alone. Satan was standing at his right hand, Joshua's right hand, to resist him. Oh my, can we relate to that? Especially those who the Lord singled out yesterday. Anything, you know, and that's true. That's just a truism. Anytime any of us try to do anything for the Lord, or even just progressing spiritually in a deeper, more intimate, victorious relationship with Jesus, with your God, he will do all that he can to bring discouragement or hindrances or doubts or questionings or confusion. He will do all that he can to prevent your forward progress. And so that verse, when he said, he shewed me, we see that he was shown Joshua, and then there were night visions that followed. We won't take the time to look at them. There were the four riders, the four horns, the measuring line, the investiture of Joshua the high priest. But in this scripture, this particular chapter we're looking at, we see Joshua the high priest, who was partner with the ruler or governor Zerubbabel in the exiles returned. And what we see, he is being fittingly robed for the office he is to fulfill historically, but this has tremendous spiritual application for us. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. It's not just, you know, books of poetry or books of history. It's alive. It's got meaning for us. How often have you read a passage of Scripture and, you know, it depends where we're at. We are, you know, you could read something a year ago and you read it now and it's like, oh, wow, because of all the changes, you have greater depth and understanding of what God is speaking to you out of that passage of Scripture. Some brand new thing you didn't even see before. That's the amazing thing about God's Word. And so in this scene, we have the angel of the Lord who spoke with Zechariah, and Zechariah, who was having this vision of Joshua the high priest and the angel of the Lord. And then, of course, we know that that angel of the Lord refers to Jesus, the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ, as he appeared in the Old Testament. So Joshua the high priest, even though he was a literal priest historically at that time, he for us may be regarded as a symbolic character, if you will, and he represented the degraded priesthood as a whole at that time. There he was just a symbol, if you will. And of course, when we look at ourselves, if we are prayer warriors, if we are intercessors, we have to understand, even as we look at the great heroes of the Bible, Nehemiah, Moses, when they prayed, even though they were righteous men, they were godly, they repented of their sin as well as the sins of their brethren. They included themselves in the ungodliness of the time in which they were living, and we need to do the same thing. We need to repent for America, for the sins of America, for not only our personal sins, but the sins of the body of Christ. There's so much apostasy. So many have gone in their own ways. They've become lukewarm. Goodness sakes, read the first few chapters of Revelation. That was back then. God gave to John. He had rebuke for all of the seven churches, except one, of course, the Church of Philadelphia. And was it Thyatira? Tyra also, they had a little strength, and they were, no, I think that's, anyway, the point is, I don't want to get off track, but what we see is we all are in need of God's mercy. We are all in need of God's cleansing. And so we are in process, and in the next few days, we're going to look at the spiritual significance of Joshua's cleansing, because he was, in fact, cleansed. Because in verse 4, the Lord, angel of the Lord, said, "Take away those filthy garments from him," to those that stood around him. And he speaks directly to Joshua, and he's saying to each one of us, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." Well, of course, he's done that. When we got saved, he gave us the garments of salvation. Is that not right? And he's clothed us with the robe of righteousness. But there is a spiritual significance for us. We see his preparation for the priesthood as a parable of how we, present-day Christians, how we, if we've fallen short, if we're defiled, just as Joshua was defiled, how we may be restored and fitted in glorious ways for the Lord's service. We are to turn from our wicked ways. Isn't that right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, Jesus said, or the Spirit of the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." However, we know that we are in spiritual warfare, because just in that first verse in chapter 3, we see this scenario that Zechariah is portraying, and Satan is standing at his right hand to resist him. And we can look at a similar passage in Revelation 12:10. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. And of course, this is when Jesus gets victory in a literal way in terms of this, the kingdoms of this world. This passage goes on to say, for the accuser of our brethren, who is that? That's Satan, has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. You remember Job? And Satan, that very first chapter, the Lord asked him, where have you been? Oh, I've been walking up and down in the earth, looking to see who he can devour as a roaring lion. And we know God did allow, took down that hedge so Satan could test Job for the purpose of showing that Job indeed was a righteous man. Yea, in his own understanding, if God would slay him, still he would trust in the Lord. And so Satan, his charge that, oh, he's just serving you because he's being blessed, was totally debunked. And God was glorified, and everything Job had was restored doubly. Praise God. So now let's look at why was Joshua unfit for the priesthood until God did this work? Well, we again relating to our own lives, look at what Paul had to say to the Corinthians, to the Galatian church. Well, we might have to wait till tomorrow to look at that, but we see just as the early church had an adversary standing to resist them, Joshua had an adversary resisting him. This is the historical person, the actual historical figure. He was being resisted. And then in our own personal lives, we are encountering resistance. Amen. So yet there's victory in Jesus. We need not be discouraged or dismayed or faint-hearted. Praise God. Well, as always, I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. Here's just a brief portion of a letter from a brother writing from San Lorenzo, and he says, Dear Judith, I've been going over some of the letters you've written to me over the last 1 to 3 years, and they have been wonderful and have been filled with encouragement, compassion, love, and have helped me to be inspired and enlightened. God bless you and the UCM family. Well, the announcer is going to give our mailing address. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I know that I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.